from the vault. High atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Talking Catholic, the official podcast of the Catholic community of South Jersey, here telling the stories of individuals in the Diocese of Camden. I'm Pete Sanchez, staff writer, social media coordinator for the Star Herald. And with me is Michael Walsh, director of communications. Michael, how are you?
I am very well. I am not enjoying this very warm weather we have on this Friday in May. I would have liked spring to last just a little bit longer.
I know. We completely skipped over spring. I mean, we went right from winter to summer.
Yeah, I don't approve.
I don't approve either. We're recording this on a Friday afternoon here, so... we got a few events coming up, Mike, and exciting events a week from today in the Woodcrest at the Woodcrest Country Club in Cherry Hill, 300 East Evesham. Is the monthly Catholic Business Network of South Jersey's breakfast at 7:30 a.m. And that's going to be fun. That's going to be with panelists from schools or panelists from different talking about how Catholic schools and parish religious ed programs are helping to engage and develop future faith-filled leaders. So for more info on that, you can contact Sheila.McGurl at camdendiocese.org. And again, Friday, May 11th, 7:30. And then, Mike, we got coming up the in Glassboro, your hometown, St. Bridget University Parish, 125 Church Street, is having Bridges to Peace Holy Hour on May 16th. The Bridges to Dignity, Life, and Justice team will be sponsoring this, praying for an end to violence and for the healing of all those touched by violence in our society. So come out, all those who have experienced the effects of violence in their lives. Starts at 7 p.m. Exposition, silent adoration, intercessions, petitions, benediction, light refreshments, and contact 856-881-2753 for more info. And then May 19th, 2008, in 2018 at 6 p.m. In Sewell's Holy Family Parish is the Church of the Holy Family's Evangelization Committees. They're going to welcome the Eucharist and evangelization with guest speakers, Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal, who live according to the ideals of St. Francis of Assisi, and their apostolic mission involves work with the poor and homeless in Atlantic City.
All right, that is May 19th. You can slow down a little bit. I know I always give you garbage about how slow it takes you to read these announcements. That one was really good. I think that one. I think people might have flown through that one just a little bit too quickly. Basically, what all you need to know, listeners, is our favorite sisters who are and good friends of the podcast, not our favorite sisters, but good friends of the podcast, the Sisters for the Renewal, are going to be at Holy Family. And if you haven't had an opportunity to spend time with them, it really is a great opportunity. They're wonderful people. You know, I lovingly refer to them as Faith Crack. I'm as jaded a human being as you'll ever meet in your life, and it's an addiction to be around them. So if you really want a good opportunity to sort of get closer to the Eucharist and understanding our role as evangelists, I highly recommend you going. The thing the sisters do in their own lives to evangelize is honestly eye-opening and a credit for the church. So anyway, I certainly ask you to come to that. All right.
Yeah, that's going
to
be.
Feel free to slightly more slowly read the other one.
Okay. So this is the New Jersey Catholic Youth Rally. It happens every year, Mike. That's going to be fun. That's taking place on May 20th, Sunday at 8:30. Starts at 8:30 at Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson. I hear there's a ride, the Joker, that somebody was telling me about. Got to get on.
I don't know. I don't do rides. No. I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to that.
Oh, you don't do the loop-de-loops?
Mm-mm.
No, the tea. You're probably a teacup guy.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Our guest is smirking, knowing you're right. He was there the one time I rode a ride. Come to think of it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that
he won't remember because I don't remember it. But
I was going to say I'm filing that back in to ask. So this is going on again May 20th. Tickets are $50, include park admission, all you can eat lunch buffet, and parking. This is at the Catholic Youth Rally, Six Flags Great Adventure, in Jackson, New Jersey. So come on out. More info, contact Martha Scuddy, 856-583-2909. And this is an awesome event happening this Tuesday, Mike. This is in keeping with our guest, who will announce in a bit. May 8th at 4 p.m. at St. Mary's Parish, Springdale Road in Cherry Hill, Bishop Sullivan is celebrating the annual Jubilee Mass for our diocesan priests who are celebrating their 25, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of ordination. And we'd like to extend... All this information is online at camdendiocese.org. And just to let you, so you can find all this info about all these masses, but we'd like to extend invitations or congratulations to all those jubilarians at 25 years. Well, I'll start with 70 years. Monsignor Cornelius P. O'Leary, and those celebrating 60 years, Father Felipe L. Dolden, Monsignor Thomas M. Flynn, and Father Joseph V. Jerkowski, those celebrating 50 years, Father James Durkin, Father Robert Gregorio, Father Kenneth Johnston, Father Caligero Laverdi, Monsignor Andrew Martin, and Father Brian O'Neill, and those celebrating 40 years, Father John Bohr, Monsignor Dominic Bottino, Father Peter McLaughlin, Father John O'Leary, and those celebrating 25 years, Father Sung-Hum John Kim, Father Pavel Krishevitz, Father Paul Oshevsky, and our guest, Father Joseph Byerly, celebrating 25 years. Congratulations.
25 years.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. So how are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to be here. No, thanks for inviting me.
Oh, no, we're happy to have you on the podcast. For our more loyal listeners, you've probably heard me reference Father Joe several times in the past where I talked. He officiated the wedding of my wife and I, and he and I go way back, and I've talked about his important role in my own faith formation post high school and college. And you know, he's one of our jubilarians this year, and we felt that that was really the perfect time, particularly with the jubilarian mass coming now and the ordinations of two of our seminarians in June. We thought this would be a good time to have him on. So thank you very much for coming. And how's it feel to have your 25th anniversary of the priesthood approaching?
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't even realize it because, you know, sometimes you just do your work each day and you get up and you do your thing and you do it the same the next day as best you can. And all of a sudden, it's 25 years later. It's hard to imagine. I don't feel like I've been a priest 25 years.
That's probably a good sign. I like that. That's nice. So, you know, sort of like looking back at, let's say, July 3rd, day before Independence Day, and it's 1993, and you're about to become a priest. What's going through your mind? Do you remember?
Don't remember too many details of that day, except, of course, being a little nervous and excited at the same time. The bishop would always reveal your assignment after, so, of course, you're wondering about where you're going to go as your first assignment. You know, I knew I was going to be going back to Rome for 1 year at least, but what I was going to do for the summer, I didn't know yet, so it was, you know, kind of just a lot of nerves, a lot of excitement, probably not unlike getting married, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're there and, you know, you get in, you know, move into the whole ordination ceremony and mass. And it's just a very beautiful, beautiful moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Where was your first placement that summer?
So that summer, I was at St. Michael's in Gibbstown. Okay. With Monsignor.
That's okay. We blank on names all the time. It's fine.
And you,
it was 25 years ago.
It was 25 years ago.
And you,
Monsignor Fitzsimmons.
Okay.
Oh, and you studied in Rome for the seminary primarily?
Yes. I was there for 5 years, 3 years at the Angelicum, which is the University of St. Thomas Aquinas, the Dominicans. And then 2 years at the Lateran University at the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family.
You know, we've had seminarians in the last, you know, year we've been doing this. We've had seminarians on a lot. We haven't had any from Rome. What was it? I mean, I know you don't have anything to compare it against, but in your mind, how was that sort of different versus sort of a traditional U.S. based seminary experience?
We go to a university that has students from all over the world. You live in the center of the faith, of the Catholic faith, the headquarters, so to speak, the capital city. And so you see everything all the time. You really get a picture of the universal church, such a perspective that is, I think, much different than you'd get if you were at a seminary in the United States. And so it's a real blessing to be able to, you know, walk down to St. Peter's to say a prayer and, you know, walk to one, you know, the spots that you see in TV and movies and, you know, books, art books, and, you know, all of a sudden you're walking to a church and here's a work of art that's just hanging on the wall, a side chapel, and, you know, you've seen it in art books and, like, yeah, there it is. So mm-hmm. that experience is really amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the obviously I'm sure the quality of education is great in all the, you know, seminaries, but, you know, in Rome we really had some world-class professors, and so, you know, we may not have had the type of particular formation, pastoral formation that you might get in the United States by having, you know, working in a parish and getting that kind of experience. So I think that that might be a little different. You know, we worked in soup kitchens and different things like that with for our pastoral work. So, you know, there was a little catching up, I guess, when it comes to that, you know, when you get back to the U.S. But, you know, my mind was, I was studying to be a priest here in the Diocese of Camden. I was looking forward to that. And, you know, I think that being able to bring that experience from Rome back to South Jersey was certainly a benefit to the church here in the Diocese of Camden.
When you talk about getting back to Rome, to me, I haven't had experience, of course, but to me, you're spending 5 years in Rome, you come back, and not only do you come back here, but you're now a priest. How was that experience getting back into this culture and now being assigned at a parish?
Kind of going from being an Italian to an American very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, every country has its positives and its strengths, and just try to appreciate the strengths of each place. And there's some always some challenges and things to get used to when you're in Rome, but it's things to get used to here in the U.S. Certainly the ability to get what you want when you want in the U.S. is a tremendous blessing that we have that most other countries, even first world countries, don't have. At the same time, I guess we can become a little complacent and a little demanding about things that other countries, other cultures may have a sense of, in a more organic sense of the way things work, and they come as they come, and their timing might be a little different. I mean, ultimately, being a priest is being a priest. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. You're there to spread the gospel and to try to bring people to Christ and to help them to get to heaven. So wherever you go, you just, that's the job of the priest. So that doesn't change, in my opinion.
Mm. How's your Italian 25 years later?
It's around. Probably could be better. I have been fortunate to go back to Italy on a number of occasions, and so I get a chance to practice here and there, and some parishioners in the parishes that I've been in who speak Italian to me a little bit. Certainly need to brush up on it a little bit more to be where I think I should be, but I could still order a pizza.
There you go. That's important.
And you're now at St. Rosalima. You're pastor of St. Rosalima in Haddon Heights.
Yes.
And that's, I guess, around there, there's probably a few good pizza shops.
Around, yeah, there are. I don't think we're allowed to give out advertisements or anything.
No, oh, okay, darn it.
Yeah. No, no spoiling Infinity War yet either, because I saw it and I'm dying to spoil it for others. So let's go back a little further and sort of what brought you to like, where was that? Where did your calling come from? Like, how did you hear it and when did you kind of know?
The time that I remember first thinking about being a priest was at a mass at Sacred Heart Church in Mount Ephraim. It was late Sunday afternoon, or, you know, the latest mass on Sunday morning. And it was Father Gunther on the steps of the church said, "Hey, when are you going to become a priest like your brother?" And I had never really thought about it before. And it was interesting. Father Gunther could be a little direct at times, we'll say. but, you know, that's what it took really for me to start thinking about it. I had really not practiced my faith all that much during, you know, later into college, late high school into college. And I really was not happy. And no matter what I was trying to do to be happy. And it was the Lord really who brought me back. And I kind of think the way I describe it is that he gave me my life back. You know, and I really began to understand what it means to know the Lord and to be close to the Lord. And coming back to my faith, practice my faith, my life took certainly a much different direction than I had been planning. But at that point, I had not yet been planning about being a priest or thinking about that. And it was that statement from that priest, that invitation, if you want, or challenge, that got me thinking. And from there, I started thinking about it more, praying about it, and decided to see if that's what God wanted me to do. I think that a lot of times that's how you figure that out. You don't know automatically. I think you need to, you know, the idea is called discernment, and you need to give it a shot and see, you know, if that's what the Lord wants, and you leave it in His hands, and, you know, He'll take care of it. If that's where He wants you to be, that's where you're going to be. And mm-hmm. I think you just got to trust that.
Yeah. You know, even when we've talked to the seminarians and some of the priests that we've had on the podcast, it's always sort of that same sort of ethereal that sort of like focuses as you get closer and you really start to consider it. What about when you were in Rome? Did you have waves of when you really knew you were on the right path?
Yeah, I think that you're still going with the assumption that this is the right thing, that what the Lord wants, but you're not too sure. And you know, you have struggles, obviously, about is this the right thing? Am I good enough? Of course, the answer to that is always no for everyone. But, you know, the feelings that you get, you wonder if you're on the right track. And I remember one time, I guess I was probably my third year there in Rome, and I went into the chapel, and I just said, Lord, I think this is really what you want me to do, and I'm just going to go for it. If you don't want me to be a priest, then you just have to stop it. You have to make it really obvious, because this is what I think you want. And, you know, this kind of standing on the fence, not too sure, isn't really working. So I think once I really committed to the Lord like that, mm-hmm. was a kind of a key moment, because after that, things went a lot, you know, was very kind of very clear after that. So, you know, the Lord did answer that prayer clearly.
Yeah.
One of the things you talked about, Father, if you can expound on it a bit, is you talked about you realized you wanted to be happy and you found it in the Lord. It seems like today so much, there's a crisis of people not happy, and they're not really, for some reason, they don't understand that they need the Lord.
Yeah, we all are created with the desire to be happy. I mean, if you ask anyone what they want in life, they all want to be happy. And I think that, and we're created by God to be happy in Him. It's just that sometimes people don't realize that that's what is that's the piece of the puzzle, that's the only piece of the puzzle that fits in their hearts, that gives them the completion that they want and need. And so, you know, we spend our lives trying to jam other pieces into that slot, and it doesn't fit. And we wonder why we're, you know, not at peace, why we're not happy, why we're not fulfilled. And, you know, sometimes we just keep trying and trying, and we just think, you know, if we just try this next thing, it's going to work. And unfortunately, it's only the Lord who satisfies. And, you know, that's something we have to be open to. There has to be a certain docility. And I think if we are open and we do trust in the Lord, you know, He'll help us to see that.
It's beautiful. You have an adoration chapel at St. Rose. It's open every day, right?
So Monday to Friday, from after the 8:30 Mass until 8 o'clock, we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament.
Wonderful. Yeah, I know. I've spent times there, part of the St. Rosalima, you know, the young and old group there.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have adoration there at 7 o'clock, and that was kind of my first entrance into prayer, really deep contemplative prayer, especially from the Blessed Sacrament. Is that when you like, how do you make time for prayer? Where do you go? Do you go to that chapel, or do you have space in your private quarters?
Yeah, I think I do my best to get there before, you know, in the chapel. I like to go, frankly, times where no one else is there, because
yeah, exactly.
I don't have the greatest focus in the world that I guess other people might have. And so if there's people rustling papers and moving around and talking, and you know, it can be a little distracting to me. So I like to when I pray, I like to be by myself with the Lord.
The I'm curious, you know, sort of going back to, you know, these 25 years, how has your priesthood evolved, matured, seasoned? Like, think of yourself, think of that first year or two as a priest, and you know, your perspectives on the priesthood now that you've been in it for 25 years, 25 glorious, wonderful years.
Yeah. I guess it's probably the obvious answer that everyone would give is that when you're first ordained, you think you know everything and have all the answers, and then you learn that you really don't. And you, maybe you actually might have the answers, but you don't really have the proper way of packaging them. And I think the truth is always going to be the truth, and that has never changed from the before creation, because God is truth, and it's not going to change, even after the end of the world. So the truth is always going to be the same. It's just how it's presented. And I think that as a young priest, I thought that the truth itself was sufficient, and I certainly made a lot of missteps with just the sharp way of presenting the truth was the most impactful, and certainly was impactful to some, but maybe not in the way I was intending. And I think that, over time you realize that, you know, the way in which you convey the truth is very important as well. And, you know, not that I'm perfect in it right now, but I think I've learned that lesson. But I think the challenge too is to maybe overpackage, and to say, well, gee, you know, I've been a priest 25 years, and you know, it's a lot easier just to nod and let people do what they want to do and think what they want to think, instead of going through the kind of work and the tedious kind of step by step things that sometimes people need to really appreciate the truth. And I think so. There's always a challenge, and I don't think it doesn't matter what year or how long you've been ordained. You know, each period has its own challenges. And I think that, you know, as you are a priest a little bit longer, you know, sure, you want to, you know, your sharp points get a little softened, but I think at the same time, you don't want to become dull.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be a balance there.
And I'd like the word truth. It's funny you say that, because I've been wrestling. I've been, despite what you readers might think, I consider myself. I consider myself a shy person and somebody who would much rather sit in a book store or sit in my room and just read. And for a while, I thought, you know, I had to really know. To be the best Catholic, I need to read Scott Hahn. I need to read Thomas Aquinas. I need to read St. Augustine. I need to read
Well, you do.
No. Yes, no. Well, I do. You know, I've read those.
Okay,
yeah. No, I've read those, and I fill my head up with knowledge to then say, okay, I can talk about this. But I've been craving that, you know, it must be the Pope Francis effect, the encounter, which is...
Yeah,
important. You know, that's the encuentro that they talk about. Because I can fill myself up with so much knowledge with books and scripture, and that's wonderful to be able to provide the truth. But at least my experience, I think there needs to be a balance with the encounter.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus says that he is the truth. So when you encounter truth, you are encountering the Lord. I think that's always important to remember that, you know, when you're reading about the faith and learning about the faith and you're learning something about divine revelation, which God has revealed himself to us through divine revelation, he says, this is who I am. And so when we learn about that and we learn as much as we can about that, we're actually learning about the Lord. We are encountering the Lord. I think there is a distinction between, you know, intellectual understanding or knowledge and experience of the Lord. And I think that mere knowledge is not sufficient. You can, you know, an atheist can know the Bible, but that's not really going to be helpful. So there has to be that encounter with the Lord. So if our prayer is, you know, whatever what our prayer is, if it's not actually helping us to develop a deeper relationship with the Lord, then we need to kind of refine that and figure out what we need to do. But I think that it would be it's not just about encountering, it's also about learning. I know that God gave us both a heart and a soul, or the will and the intellect, however you want to describe that, but we need to do both, and it's not one or the other, certainly.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're sort of doing it correctly. I mean, you were trying to be learned and encountering.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Well
done. It's funny, you know, listening to you, Father John. I don't get to hang out very often anymore. Unlike when we were.
We need to have some iced tea.
Yes, we do. We need some iced tea. It's an inside joke, folks. But one of the things, just listening, I was able to just sort of sit there and listen to you talk. One of the things I appreciate, you know, is actually that what you just brought up is, as in someone who appreciates academia, listening to you talk about the truth and these sort of definitive perspectives, you know, it's something that we don't get to see very much anymore in the Francis Effect world, which is we're all very much about the encounter and understanding, like the person to person. But I think some of that academia has been stripped away a little bit, and that's why it's so good to have such a variety of priests in our lives, particularly for you and I, Pete, who get to spend a lot of time with a lot of different priests, where we get to have those perspectives. You know, I'm curious, are there any priests that had either as you've been a priest or prior that had a great effect on you?
Well, as most people may or may not know, I have a brother who's a priest. He is 10 years older than I am. He was ordained in 1985. So certainly his being in the seminary and, you know, his, you know, being a brother, having a brother as a priest was certainly influential, certainly. But aside from that, I really think it was a lot to do more with the way the Lord was kind of plotting my life without me being aware of it. And, you know, upon reflection, I think that that's really the key to my vocation. It's not necessarily individuals who had giant impacts, but the whole collective experience of all the different things that happened in my life, the good and the bad, the struggles and the joys and all that put together really is what led me to the seminary and, you know, and the discernment to be a priest.
So in these 25 years since, have there been like really moments you look back on in the last 25 years that you've been very happy about, prideful of, you know?
No, aren't we supposed to avoid that pride thing?
Well, yeah, I'm in PR. I have a hard time with that. But I mean, just looking back in these 25, I mean, you know, any opportunities you've had as a priest?
Yeah, when people come and say thank you and you helped, that's a great moment. Mm. A lot of people come, they want a lot of things from the church and from their priests, and that's our job to give it to them, yeah. You know, to spiritual, you know, even if it's just being supportive of a difficult situation that they're in, the prayers that we pray and offer for them, the masses that we offer for them, you know, the visits that we make, you know, all those things, obviously the mass that we celebrate and the preaching that we do, all those things, you know, people need. I mean, that's why Christ gave us the priesthood, so that we could be his voice, if you want, to the people of the church, of the world. Mm-hmm. And so when those moments come in which you sense that's really happening, they're very special.
Really?
And it's beautiful. And as a priest, and particularly as a pastor, I can't get over how many times things happen that are clearly the Lord just saying, hey, I'm here, just don't forget that, because so many times where I just needed something to be done or I needed this person, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door and here's the exact person that I needed to do what needs to be done. And it used to amaze me. Now I don't expect it, but I'm certainly grateful for it because I know that that's how the Lord works. He gives us what we need.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of thank yous, I've mentioned this, I'll bring this up because I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I will often curse you because during my wife and I, we were going through our engagement process and pre-Cana, one of our first meetings was with you, naturally, and you had the misfortune of saying to me, to both of us, like, what is the point of this marriage? Like, what is the point of becoming married? Like, what is the role of the husband and wife? And I forget who said it, but it came to the answer was to get the other person into heaven. And, you know, like any married couple, we've certainly had our struggles. And when the struggles were always at their most difficult was that rolling around my head. And I'm like, oh, it's my job. This is what I have to help. She has to help me and I have to help her. The only way we could do it is to figure this thing out together. So let's keep going. Let's keep trying. And yeah, I hate you for that because it would be so much easier sometimes to just kick your spouse to the curb. But no, we have a responsibility for their soul to get them to heaven. And so if you're wondering if your words ever matter, during my darkest times as a married man is when I hear your voice in my head. So
great. Are there any times where things are going well? Did you hear my voice? Or
only when it's
the worst. Great. Well,
that's what I need you
all
the
most. So I'm the light in the darkness then, at least. How's that? That's
there you go. You're the knock on the door that comes during those dark times. But it's truthful. You know, there are, if you have a good relationship, I tell people, you know, people will ask me about when they're having issues with their lives. And I encourage them to talk to their priest, and if not their parish priest, a priest that they might have an affinity for, and or certainly a similar way of thinking, and actually talk these things through, because you're an independent voice. You know, it's you get, talk going back to the concept of truth. You know, in a emotional moment when you don't know what you're doing is right or wrong, it's great to have somebody you can go to and give you some guidance. And whether it's the suggestion of how to meditate and how to focus yourself, or whether it's literally go here and talk to this person who might help you through it, that's an incredible resource, which I have to believe after 25 years, more than just me cursing you during those dark moments. now, I should say Father Joe has also brought many, many other good things to my life. Like
Too late for that.
Appreciation for bourbon.
Oh, great.
The only person that ever took me hunting was Father Joe. It was and fishing, who I still feel terrible. I lost one of your expensive lures at one time in the back bays of Atlantic City. Great opportunities to help others. So I'm curious, you know, we've talked to you about how you stay prayerful, and I brought up just quickly here a couple of relaxation things, but do you find your great relaxation in the wild?
You know, in nature, you see things, and everything acts according to its nature. Squirrels are squirrels, deer are deer, birds are birds. Everything acts the way they're supposed to act, and everything's in perfect order. And there's a real peacefulness for me to be immersed in that, aside from the physical beauty of it. There's a spiritual beauty to that is very, truly the idea of recreation. It recreates me when I'm out there. Because obviously when you live and deal with people, you know, we're all sinners. We all are not where we should be all the time. And we don't always act according to, you know, the best nature that God gave us. And so that can be a little wearing on everyone. And we need to find whatever it is that will recharge us. Mm-hmm. And for me, a lot of times I think it's the idea of being out in nature, and to see the beauty of nature and see the order of creation and know that God is still doing what he needs to do and still taking care of business.
Mm-hmm. That's something especially the weather's getting better. I was on my phone trying to look for something that Thoreau said that I had saved on my phone, because I've been spending a lot of time, trying to spend more time in nature. There's beautiful places around here. There's the Batstow, which is, what would you recommend? What are some of your favorite places? Back Bays of Atlantic City, right?
Well, that's certainly one place. I don't know if I'd call it relaxing necessarily.
There are so many places around. Most of the state parks are good.
Parvin State Park is great.
Yeah, Belle Plaine in the heat of the summer is an interesting place yes. where the mosquitoes are so bad that even though it's a million degrees, you still want to have a fire. It's a very special place for that. It's a little bit different now. But
where you come back from a walk and you find some of your tent mates huddled in the air conditioning of a car.
Yes, that was true. That's true. I'm speaking about a camping trip that I was on with Mike, yes. and it was a very special trip, we'll say.
Yes, it was.
Well, I think it'd be a great idea. We should get like a group of men, go camping, the three of us with some other people, and do a podcast in the wild.
There's an idea. I don't know where we'll find an electrical hookup. But
I was going to say, can this go wireless?
I might be able to figure out a way to do it wirelessly. There's an idea.
That'd be fun. The campfire s'mores.
But it is, you know, kind of. I've often wondered. You know, I've never been able to tell. The priesthood seems like a unique existence, and it is a unique existence. It doesn't seem it's a unique existence. But I've often wondered how you're always surrounded by people, but to a certain extent, I always felt it must be isolating in some respect. Or maybe some people feel that way as being somewhat isolating. What about you? 25 years in, you know, have you really embraced the cultural effect of your priesthood?
By nature, I think I'm somewhat of an introvert, so that's not necessarily a problem. But whatever one's personality is, there's going to be things that you know, in the priesthood that kind of dovetail with that, and things are going to be a challenge for that. So I think that whatever is needed is available. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes discussing things with priests or others and say, gee, if I can just go to this parish, that'll be good. Or if I can go do this ministry or that ministry or do that, that's what's going to make me happy. And I just know that the answer is that you bring your happiness with you. You don't go someplace to find it. You bring it with you, and that's really ultimately your relationship with the Lord. And so it doesn't matter, you know, if I'm in a city parish, a suburban parish, in a rural area down the shore, it doesn't matter, because you just have to do what you need to do wherever you're at, and the Lord will help you to do it if you let Him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious. St. Rosalima was your home parish growing up, right?
Correct, yeah.
Is that a unique experience?
It is. I am still surprised after 9 years that I am at St. Rose. I'm so, so, so grateful for it. My dad is still in the parish, and my other brother is in the parish, so it's really a blessing to be so close to my family. And with a lot of people that I grew up with, has its pluses and minuses. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, I remember you. And somebody said, oh, I remember you. So, you know, it cuts both ways, I suppose. But it's a blessing. I went to St. Rose School. It's such a great, great school that we have. And to be able to be over there, and I teach the eighth grade once a week, and I'm over there a lot. And we have, it's just a beautiful church and a beautiful people in the parish. And I am really, really deeply grateful to the Lord for allowing me to be there as pastor.
Yeah. No, I remember when I heard that was going to happen, I was shocked, actually. I'm not familiar with too many priests going back to their home parish.
Yeah, it's not very common at all.
No, a wonderful blessing for you and your family. The in terms of things that sort of allow you to relax beyond the priesthood, what other hobbies do you have? Or beyond you know, your sportsmanship or being a sportsman? TV? Okay, I'm trying to lead you to talking about The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that show.
Hey, some people may not have seen it, though. You can't spoil anything. Have you been happy with how it's gone? This season 8?
Everything but the end of the finale. So if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to say anything. But the end of the finale was a little disheartening for me.
Yeah. What about Fear of the Walking Dead?
I watched a couple of the first episodes, but I have never gotten into it. So I don't really have that much time to watch TV, and I watch everything mostly after it's on, sitting, you know, when I have time on my iPad more than anything. So it's not like I watch that much TV, because I just don't really have the time, or at least when things are on, I'm working, so it doesn't, you know.
And what do you think is something like The Walking Dead has kind of been a phenomenon? What is it? Is it something to do with just the struggle to survive? Is it something about what happens to us after we die? Like,
I think it's the zombie killing. This is the, no.
I
think the backdrop of the end of the world, and you know, it's a pretty interesting scenario, because the greatest enemy in the world of the undead are the living, and I think that's kind of the message of the show, is that, you know, in a future where there is, you know, how do you maintain your humanity when everything else is inhuman? And I think it's really much, yeah. You know, it's pretty much what we face in the world today without realizing it. And, you know, I don't want to try to baptize this show or anything, but I think that certainly, you know, difficult situations call from us a response. And what is our response going to be? Are we going to be the best that God made us, or are we going to be the worst? And I think it can go either way, and it depends on our choice, and depends on our openness to the grace of God.
Yeah, there was, I don't know if any of you with The Walking Dead, there's a movie in that same genre called A Quiet Place. I don't know if either of you have seen it.
Hey, is that the one that just came out?
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to say that it's with John Krasinski, Jim Halpert from The Office.
Yeah, right. And his wife, Emily Blunt.
Yeah, it is extremely profound, very, very good. And it surprised me how many Catholic themes, to me, came out of it. It seems, and I highly recommend it to both of you. It's out in theaters now, to everybody. I'd love to have a bigger conversation eventually. Maybe not. All right. This podcast, but later.
I'll make you a promise. We will have a movie-only podcast before the end of the summer.
Okay? Well, I wasn't asking for that. I was just
sometime
saying
in August, when all the big releases are out, we'll do a movie-only episode.
Okay. Well, okay. Good. Well, then we can't, you too. You got homework, Mike. A Quiet Place.
Yeah, no. I got a lot of things I got to read. Well, I got to see this. I saw Infinity War. I got to see Solo. I got to see Deadpool 2. I see Ant-Man and the Wasp. Now I got to see that. So it's...
Yeah, I think
we're having a conversation via note right here. Oh, brother, whatever.
Now, Father Joe, do you have any? I mean, speaking of movies, do you have any movies that you recommend?
Casablanca.
I was just about to say that.
Casablanca. Yeah, that's the best
movie.
Casablanca is the best movie ever made.
Yes,
in my humble opinion, which means nothing, but.
When my wife and I were not too long married, maybe 5 years married, we had Father Joe over for dinner one night, and we all sat around and we watched Casablanca, because both Father and I were mortified that my wife had never seen Casablanca. I'm sad to report that I don't think she's seen it since either, but I don't know if it landed for her, but I thoroughly, did admit that it was a very good movie.
Can I make you more sad?
Sure, make me more sad.
I've never seen it.
Get out.
Well, you know what? You're not getting your all movie podcast until you watch that.
You know what? Okay. There you go. No all movie podcast until you watch Casablanca.
Okay.
I don't disagree. It's the best movie ever made.
Wow. Okay. I know Bogart's in it. That's really.
Yeah. And Lauren Bacall. It's beginning to end. Lauren Bacall? No, not Lauren Bacall. What's her name? I'm thinking of the other movie. What is her name?
Ingrid Bergman.
Ingrid Bergman. Thank you.
Bergman. Oh.
Yeah, Ingrid Bergman.
So.
No, it's such a great movie. And so many great quotes come out of it. I'm actually kind of surprised that someone who's a movie file hasn't run across it.
Well, I've probably seen I've seen the last 20 minutes of it, so I really have not seen it. That's why.
Oh, then you really haven't seen it then.
No. And I know, what is it that played again, Sam? I know that line, or isn't that the line?
Mm-hmm.
With the piano player?
Except it's not.
Except
the
it
line.
Never actually said, yeah.
That's what, yeah. I was
gonna, right.
It's a misnomer or whatever they.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
I prefer the gambling scene. Shocked. Oh, here's my money. anyway, well, Father, thank you very much for sitting with us.
Absolutely.
This has been delightful.
Yeah,
my pleasure. Is there anything you'd like to plug at the parish before we close up?
So, on Pentecost Sunday, we are having another Closer Walk with God event. That's from 2 to 3:30. We have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and a couple talks, and we finish up with benediction. We do that 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. And it's really a beautiful time to spend with the Lord. So that's at 2:00 at the church on Pentecost Sunday, which is the 12th of May or something like that, or 20th. Well, I don't know what it is. But anyway, it's Pentecost Sunday, whatever that is. I should know that, shouldn't I?
That's a date. Those things are not important. But we can certainly look it up real quick. Okay. It was Pentecost Sunday. I think it's the 20th?
Yeah, that sounds right.
May 20th, yeah.
May 20th, okay.
So, yes. Well, excellent. And do you have any final questions, Pete? Any of your classic?
Yeah, well, just, Father Joe, what would you say to, this is kind of the same question, but, you know, what would you say to your younger self preparing for ordination, but also the two young men, Josh Nevitt and Anthony Infante, preparing for the ordination, and also for any young men discerning right now their call?
I think the number one thing, of course, it's for everyone, no matter where you are, and that's just to make sure that you are faithful to prayer. It is the Lord's grace by which we do anything. And it is in the way the closer we are to the Lord, the more connected we are to the Lord in our lives, the more open we're going to be to that grace that He wishes to give us. He certainly does not He's not stingy with the grace. It's our openness that is always the problem. And so it doesn't matter where you are on anything. It's really a question of how open our hearts are to the Lord to be able to continue to move forward.
Well, on that note, can we end with a prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all the blessings You give us in our lives, and we ask You to always keep us close to You and to each other, and always know of Your love for us in our lives. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you very much, Father. Great. Thanks for indulging me and having Father Joe on, and this was great. Mm-hmm.
This was great. Looking for the campfire one.
I look forward to having you back in 25 years.
Great. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Father. Congratulations.